We're going to 34th Psalm. Psalm chapter 34. The other day, I sat down with my Bible, and I opened my Bible to this passage, and the Lord unfolded in a beautiful way the first few verses of the 34th Psalm. They just begin to unfold. And I looked at that, and I looked at it again, and I looked at it again, and the Lord said, Sunday night. Amen. So help me. That rarely ever happens. Usually Sunday afternoon is when I usually hear from the Lord about what Sunday night service is all about. But this time it happened early in the week. And I just want to share some things, just very basic and simple things, but the Lord just unfolded it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, for the next little while tonight, just to let the anointing of the Holy Spirit flow through me. Let the presence of God just move in a special way in hearts and lives tonight. I feel that you've given me, Lord, these things to pass along to the people. May I be a channel through which your Spirit can flow and through which your Word can come to these who need you tonight. Lord, I pray that in this next little while, something will be said that will be an encouragement, a source of direction for somebody's life. Somebody, Lord, tonight in this room that needs something very special, I pray that you will address yourself to them in this next little while as we share your word with them. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. As I began to look at this passage, the Lord began to show me that this is rather than just being another passage on praise, another beautiful psalm, which it is. But it's actually more than that. There is inherent in these passages that I have read to you a fourfold call to all believers. And I want to talk about that for a little while. A call to praise, a call to humility, a call to fellowship, and a call to testify. It's all here in these passages. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Glory to God. Don't you like to be around a praiser? You be around a praiser all the time, you'll be a praiser. Hang around a grouch all the time and you'll be something else. I love to be around praisers. People who praise and worship and magnify the Lord. People who stand amazed in His presence. Victor Hugo one time said of his own bishop, he said, the man did not study God. He was dazzled by Him. I like that. He was dazzled by Him. And the late Archbishop of Canterbury once said, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God. And I'm telling you what's absolutely right tonight. The day is coming in America, and not very long down the road, you're not going to be able to tell a Baptist from a Pentecostal. You're not going to be able to tell a Methodist from a Pentecostal. My wife and I went to fellowship, or to the appreciation banquet that they have annually for women who work in the Pregnancy Crisis Center downtown. My wife is a volunteer, has been for 4 years, and has beautiful ministry there, and she shares many things with me that about how the Lord has used her to reach out in love to young ladies in trouble. We went to the banquet and we sat down at a table that would seat 8 people, And it was about 10 minutes before the banquet started, and there was a nice-looking couple came in and came over to our table and said, "May we sit with you? Are these seats spoken for?" And we said, "No, we'd be delighted to have you sit here with us." We introduced ourselves. I, of course, obviously knew they were church-going people. I said, "Were you people attend church?" And they said, "Holy Name." You know what Holy Name is? It's Catholic. There would have been a time in the history of the church when if anybody would have said that, it would have been cause to got up and ran. But we exchanged pleasantries for just a little while, and then another two couples came and sit with us, and these people happened to be Baptists. And I thought, this is going to get real interesting before it's over with. Baptist, Assembly of God, and Catholic. This Catholic brother began to talk to me about all the good things that were happening. And he started using words like the Holy Spirit and praising God. And he started talking about promise keepers and started talking about going and seeing men with their hands lifted and praising and magnifying God and worshiping the Lord with tears streaming down their cheeks and the Holy Spirit moving in the place. And I says, "This is wonderful." The singers who sung at that banquet lifted up Jesus in such a beautiful and precious way. And I noticed my Baptist brother over here couldn't keep still. And he had his hands raised a time or two. And I thought, this is wonderful. But then it occurred to me, this is normal. It's normal. God's people bless the Lord at all times. My good Church of Christ friend, Dr. Jeff Williams, told me some time ago, he said, "I went to San Antonio to a men's meeting. And I watched as hundreds of men from my church, the Church of Christ, got out of their element, got away from home, and lifted their hands and magnified the Lord. And I said to myself, what in the world have we been doing all these years? This is wonderful to raise your hands and praise God." Everybody just do this right here. Isn't that wonderful? Just to raise your hands and magnify the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let me share something with you about this. On the American religious scene, praise is a response to a stimuli most of the time. But to the Hebrew psalmist who wrote Psalm 34, praise was an act of the will. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise is a choice determined by an act of the will. It doesn't necessarily mean you're always going to feel like praising God. If your theology simply says that you're never supposed to praise unless you feel the proper stimuli, then you probably won't praise God very much. But if your theology is based on the fact that you praise and worship God because He is worthy, you can do that anytime you get ready. Even walking down Main Street if you happen to forget where you are. But I want to warn you, look around first and be sure you're not walking right beside somebody that'll scare the liver out of. I did that one day. I forgot where I was at. I'd been to the bank. I was happy. I was praising God and magnifying the Lord. Monday morning, Sunday had been a beautiful day, and I forgot where I was at. And praise God! Boy, the people right next to me, they scattered. Praise is a choice determined by an act of the will. I just wonder if there's anybody else besides me in this room who has come to the realization that things aren't always going to go right in life. Anybody here? I thought I had a little company. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I think it's Victor Borge. I think that's the way he pronounced it. Anyway, he said that a composer named Bizet was the original hard luck man. He said this poor fellow stayed up nights to finish an opera by the deadline, only to find out afterwards that the production had been postponed for a whole year. He said he once wrote a symphony and misplaced the manuscript before anybody had a chance to play it. He said he entered a composing contest with only one other entrant and ended up with second prize. Once he went to visit his girlfriend and tapped on her window at the precise moment her mother was emptying a chamber pot from the room directly above his head. Some days, things ain't just going to turn out right at all. We're all going to have times that things aren't going to go good for us. Most of us, though, can be just about as happy as we make up our minds to be. Can you say amen? Listen, friend, gratitude will save us from a sullen mood of remembered griefs and forgotten joys. Amen? Gratitude will save us from a sullen mood of remembered griefs and forgotten joys. And sooner or later, the person with a grateful heart will go beneath the surface to the source of things, God. You won't praise God very long before you find God and God finds you. Can you say praise the Lord? It's a call to praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. And secondly, it's a call to humility. It's a call to humility. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And I don't know how else to say it except to say it like this. Humble hears humble. It takes humble to hear humble. Not everybody's carried away with the greatness of God. But if a person is right standing with God, he responds to humility and humbleness when he sees it in others. I believe that. And let me also tell you this, that humility before God will always result in a proper stance before man. And what I'm simply trying to tell you tonight, if you'll bow before God, you don't have to bow before anybody else. If you'll bow before Him, you don't have to bow before men. Every time we hear the call to humility, it should create within us a sense of awe, of wonder, and of gratitude. And boy, there are some beautiful and wonderful, surprising rewards to the person who will yield themselves to an humble life of service for God. Several years ago, there's a school teacher was assigned to visit children in a large city hospital. And she received a routine call requesting that she visit one particular child. She took the boy's name and his room number and was told by the teacher on the other end of the line. She said, "We're studying nouns and adverbs in his class now, and I'd be so grateful if you could go by and help him with his homework so he doesn't fall behind the others." Well, it wasn't until the visiting teacher got outside the boy's room that she realized it was located in the hospital's burn unit. No one had prepared her for what she was about to face. She found a young boy that had been burned mercilessly. He was in great pain. He was wrapped up, his body was wrapped up much like a mummy, just wrappings all over his body. She stood there in the doorway for a moment and hesitated and thought, you know, I just can't walk out, you know, turn and walk out of here like this. He's already seen me. I can't do it. And so she awkwardly stammered, "I'm the hospital teacher, and your teacher has sent me here to help you with your nouns and adverbs." The next morning, there was a nurse on the burn unit, stopped her, and said, "What in the world did you do to that boy?" She said, What do you mean? She said, "You don't understand. We've been worried about that boy. But ever since you were here yesterday, his whole attitude has changed. He's fighting back. He's responding to his treatment. It's as though he's decided to live." And so they went to the boy and they questioned the boy about what had caused the change in his behavior. And he told it like this. He said, "You know, they wouldn't send a teacher down here to work on nouns and adverbs with me if I was going to die, would they?" When I found out you wanted to help me in my nouns and my adverbs, it helped me to make my mind up that my teacher was expecting me to turn some homework in sometime. I'm going to live. Isn't that a rewarding thing? Brother, I'm going to tell you, God will put in your pathway all kinds of opportunities for rewarding service if you'll make yourself available to God. I shared a letter with my wife and some other friends the other day that I received from a young lady that I used to pastor when I was in Tahlequah. And she was one of the college group that came through. And I hadn't thought about her in a long time. She was a kind of a quiet young lady. But I remember now when she came there, she was having a lot of problems in her life. And she was confused about a lot of things. And I later found out that this young lady had been a victim of incest, which further complicated her problems. But she was a very lovely young lady, and she played one of those guitars with a hole in them. Clint, what do they call those things? Flat tops or... Yeah, you know, the standard guitar. You know, not an amplified, but one with a hole in it. Acoustic. C-O-U-S-T-I-C. Acoustic. I know, brother. She played an acoustic guitar. She asked me one night if she could sing, and I had her to sing. And it took quite a little while to get her situated where she can sing because she couldn't stand up and hold it. She sat down in a chair, had to get a microphone and run over there to her to amplify her guitar, and then a microphone to amplify her voice for that big old auditorium. Finally, we got her situated, and she started strumming that thing. Beautiful. Started singing a song that she had herself written. Beautiful again. And she sat there and just magnified Jesus with her talents. And I received a letter this past week from her after 10 years. She said, "I don't even know if you remember me or not, but I came to Tahlequah and I was hurting and I was confused. And," she said, "you did something for me that nobody ever had done for me. You loved me and you accepted me. Even though my walk with God was not close and I wasn't a spiritual giant or anything, you just accepted me for what I was and gave me a chance to express my love for Jesus. And I would write this letter and thank you." Rewards? Yeah. You'd better believe it. I believe that humble service will often reap great, unexpected rewards. Thirdly, it's a call to fellowship. It's a call to fellowship. Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Someone said one time, "Go often to the house of thy God, for weeds soon choke the untrodden path." I tell you one thing, I don't want my path that leads me to church to get overgrown with weeds. I want to keep it beat down with my footsteps. I want to go to the house of the Lord. I want to be faithful to the house of God. Do you consider what a tremendous thing the church is? Have you ever considered what a tremendous price was paid for the church? Have you ever considered what a miracle the church is in the first place? And what a mighty Savior the church has? I read some time ago about God miraculously superintending the spread of the gospel in the first century. Just before Jesus went away, He told His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me give you a little something here that only God could have thought of. Only God could have pulled this one off like He did. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." It was so thoughtful of Almighty God to put the Greeks in power and spread all over the then known world and make the Greek language universal language. Wasn't that thoughtful? So the people who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and those who went out could preach in the Greek language and everybody could understand. But wait a minute. You got to have roads to travel over to get to where you need to go. Well, God took care of that because the Romans came to power. And you know what the big thing the Romans did? They built roads and aqueducts. Theirs was a construction specialty. And they built roads all over the world. When they ruled the world, they built roads to wherever they wanted to take their ruling militia. They built roads. They didn't know that they were building roads for the church of God. They didn't realize, neither did the disciples realize, when Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach," about the only thing the church had to do was to buy sandals.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Wasn't that thoughtful of God? God has done a wonderful thing to make such a thing called the church. Friends, I want to tell you, fellowship will get you through some rough times in life. It'll get you through some rough, rough times. It'll take you through some rough places. Yes, it will. Fellowship will encourage you. The little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and love that you'll receive from those in the fellowship are so precious. Someone wrote these words, "Life is mostly froth and bubble. Two things stand like stone. Kindness in another's trouble. Courage in your own." It's powerful. Fellowship will get you through some rough times. Come, let us exalt His name together. Let us exalt His name together. Hallelujah. And fourthly, it is a call to testify. A call to testify. "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all his fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." And then he goes on to say, "The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." My friend, this is testimony time. It's testimony time about a God who saves and about a God who delivers. It's testimony time about a God who helps you to go through the same problems the world is going through, only victorious. It's testimony time. It's testimony time when the world sees you hurting and knows that you have a strength they don't know anything about. Testimony time. Testimony time. We are called to testify. Alban Butler wrote a book some time ago called Lives of the Saints. And in this book he gives numerous accounts of victorious martyrs. And incidentally, anytime you see the word witness in the New Testament, it comes from the Greek word martyr. That's what the word comes from. In this book, there are many that typify the joy of the Lord in their suffering. He tells about one incident that happened in the year A.D. 203. Five young people who lived in the city-state of Carthage were arrested for being a Christian. And they were imprisoned. And there is an account in the Greek language by one of them, a young woman named Perpetua. We still have that document. In that document, Perpetua, who was carrying a small baby, wrote that after the judge condemned us to the wild beast, we returned joyfully to our prison. Wow! Isn't that dynamic? Isn't that powerful? There was another victim of third century persecution, a brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a deacon in the Roman church. When he heard he was going to be arrested, the record says he was full of joy. Full of joy. When he found out he was going to face certain death, he started giving away his possessions. He gave everything he had to the poor. He refused to deny the faith and sacrifice to the idols. And so therefore he was stripped and he was bound and he was placed on a large gridiron above burning coals. Now listen, this will bless you. They had him up here roasting much like a pig. That's the way they had him. They had him up here over this large gridiron above burning coals. And after suffering excruciating pain for some time, he turned to the judge and he smiled a cheerful smile and said, "Let my body be turned." So like a pig on a spit, they turned the other side to the coals. And after he had cooked a while in that position, he turned back to the judge and said, "I believe this side is broad enough. I believe I'm done. You may now eat." And he closed his eyes and went home to be with Jesus. That is a testimony, my friend. That is a testimony. Most of our persecutions that we endure in 1995 are insignificant compared to something of that magnitude. Most of us really don't know what persecution is. I chafe when someone gets on my case. It hurts. Does it hurt anybody else when somebody... Do you? Yeah, I thought you did. Hurts. It hurts when you've done your best and someone turns on you, doesn't it? Yeah, I guess that's a form of persecution, but it's small compared to this. Small compared to this. Gordon MacDonald spent a month in South Africa. Of course, those of you that kept up with the news know that South Africa has been in a state of turmoil for years, actually, as they dealt with the issue of apartheid. And the church has not been exempt from the struggles in South Africa. And Gordon MacDonald said that while he and his wife Gail were there, they met some of the most courageous and committed men and women they had ever met in their lives. One of their hosts was a man named George Irving, who was then the Methodist bishop of the Grahamstown district. Brother Irving told them of a black pastor in his district whose home had been firebombed and completely destroyed one night. Early in the morning, the bishop went out to the township and found the pastor and his family standing at the front of what had once been their home, now burnt out shell. Nothing was left but the chimney. All personal belongings, furniture, books, sermon notes were gone, a lifetime of study gone up in smoke because his home had been burned. Bishop said, I stood there and I looked over the ruins, the home of that godly pastor. And I thought to myself, this will throw him. He'll never recover from this. He'll never survive it. He said, but then I looked over to the only thing of that home that was left standing, that was a chimney. And I saw something on that chimney that gave me courage and gave me hope. For there on the chimney wall, the only part left standing, that pastor had taken a lump of charcoal and written the words that he had spoken years earlier as a vow that all Methodist pastors in that district taken upon their ordination. And here's what he had charcoaled on that chimney. Put me to what you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be laid aside for you. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to your pleasure and disposal, my Lord. Wow. You can't stamp that out. You can't freeze that out. You can't burn that out. You can't starve that out. You can't kill that out. That's victory. That's victory in Jesus. Person with a made up mind that would say, Lord, take it all. Take it all. Paul said as much. He said, you know, I count all things but dung that I may be found in Christ, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. I count it all as refuse that I might know Him, that I might be His friend. Testify. Testify. Call to praise. Call to humility. It's a call to be a part of a fellowship. And it's a call to leave a testimony to a dying world. And that's your call and mine. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Aren't you glad He is? When I was a boy growing up, I remember quite well hearing the news as we went to town one Saturday, early part of summer. I heard that the Chamber of Commerce was going to have something new at Redbud Park in Marlow this year to celebrate July the 4th. City Fathers of Marlow had decided to spend the handsome sum of $2,000 to provide a huge fireworks display. Now you got to remember, $2,000 back in that time was a hunk of money. I thought, there ain't that much money in the world. $2,000 they're going to spend on a fire? What kind of a display is that going to be? I've got to be there. And I was. I was there. Big day. Big night. Music playing.
thousands of people milling around, preparing for this gigantic fireworks display. That little park had thousands of people that converged on it that night. The carnival was there. Everybody was waiting for one thing. They was waiting for it to get dark. Waiting for it to get dark so they could shoot off $2,000 worth of fireworks. My excitement ran high. Finally, it got dark. And then for a while, the whole heavens were lit up. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. The crowd would ooh and ah, and they would applaud and express their approval in so many ways. In about 30 minutes or so, what a terrific show this was. And they ended up with a spectacular aerial display. The American flag. Suspended up there in midair was the fireworks, and they were set off in progression, and that big, beautiful, burning American flag, fireworks outlining the American flag, the red, white, and blue. So beautiful. Spectacular. But then you know what happened? All the powder's gone. All the powder had been burned up. And I went home from the park that night with the memory of the sky being lit up like it was. And I went outside and I looked up to the heavens, and the stars were still shining. They're still shining. I want to tell you something, friend. When the fireworks are all gone, look up. Somewhere there's a star out there, still shining. When you've gone through the blackest night that you think you can ever go through, and the world is pointing to their carnivals and saying, "Why aren't you enjoying this with us?" And you don't, because you know it ain't the thing for you. You know it's not right for you because you've taken another way. Some night, just go out and lift up your eyes and just look. Because when the razzle and the dazzle of men has spent its due and done its thing, there's still a God in heaven. There's still a God in heaven. A faithful God. You serve Him faithfully. Don't slack up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Be faithful to do what He's asked you to do, and you'll never be sorry. Let's pray. Oh God, my God, oh God, Holy Spirit, I worship You, Jesus. I praise You, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried.